Pacifico. Phil Henry.
What have you been doing, man? Hey, welcome everybody. The world famous Phil Henry Show. It's got to be Friday because I'm dragging just a little bit. Not because I'm not happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here. But I guess I had another one of those nights or something.
You're going to keep on having those nights if you keep drinking that mud.
Yeah. Well, I love my Turkish coffee, so, you know.
Well, you love your Turkish coffee, but
I don't think that's it. I honestly don't think that's it. I think it's just because I've got my brain goes a million miles a second. I wake up at, I hit the sack last night probably about 3:30, but I wake up at like 5, and I get excited about stuff. I do. I look out, and the sun is coming up, and I got to tell you, I'm not saying this to rub it in, but where I live it lifts the spirit to get out of bed in the morning and to walk by a window and look a block down the street, and there's the Pacific Ocean.
Well, don't rub it in, Phil. There are people that...
I'm not rubbing anything in. I think people want to hear this. It really lifts the spirit, and especially when you see the rays of the sun, and, you know, of course, I'm looking toward the west, and the sun rises in the east. But if you look east from my house, you're looking out over a boatyard, which is attached to a harbor, and you sort of see the spires and the masts of the ships, and you see the sun kind of streaming across that. There's a jetty over there. And on really good mornings, you can hear the sea lions barking.
No, you're rubbing it in on a... if there's a poor guy that's listening...
What do you mean, poor guy? Yeah, bud, what does that mean, a poor guy? So poor guys can't live near the water?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. There's a lot of very, very, I would say, modest neighborhoods that are near the ocean. But look, let's not get into that right now. Just allow me to... I was talking about my sleep habits, and I want to... I'm turning over a new leaf here. I'm not going to let you guys slow me up or confuse me, okay?
That's what I've been telling you for a long time. Everybody, these two here...
No, Robert. You don't point to me and say, these two here. All right? I don't sidetrack Phil. It's that one.
No, wait a sec. You don't point to me and say that one.
Will you hold on for just a minute, please? It's everybody. It's all of you guys with the big fat mouths while I'm trying to say something. Now, I'm not letting you sidetrack me. I started this hour by talking about my sleep habits and the tough time I have sleeping, which I've shared with the audience. And I had a tough one last night, but it wasn't like I was, you know, tossing and turning and worrying about the bills or something like that. I hit the sack about 3:30, and then I woke up at 5 o'clock, maybe 5:30. At whatever time I woke up, there was the light of the day was beginning to stream into the room, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what kind of a day it is. That's just the guy that I am, you know. A lot of people will say to you, and people have said this to me, that's, Phil, you got to resist the temptation. You got to just, you know, lay back down in bed and just keep on sleeping, because the minute you get up, the heart starts beating more. But I don't know, I haven't done that since I was a kid. And you wake up and you see the light of the day coming in, and then I take a walk out into the living room or something, and I look and there's the ocean, and then I look toward toward the back of my house, and I see the boatyard there, and you hear the and then the other thing that's kind of funny where I live, I can hear the Navy guys. I can hear these cats in the Navy. It's pretty funny. They're out. Excuse me. They're out running and exercising, you know.
Well, don't you hear the taps?
Yeah, I hear taps because I live near a naval base. And some mornings I hear, that's not taps. Taps is when a guy's dead or something.
No, that's taps is when I'm waking it up.
No, it's not. Taps is that sad, dun, 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 you know that one?
Well, is that a real song or did they make that up for cartoons?
Yeah, they thought that was a cartoon one.
No, it's not a cartoon one. Don't say that. That's an actual mournful bugle solo that is played in the military for the fallen. Taps. Okay?
What's one of those dun, 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 dun? Yeah, that's the one I heard the other day on TV.
Wait a minute. What is Dan saying here? Reveille is played in the morning. Thank you, Dan. Dan's a former, you know, he was in the military.
Well, then ask Dan what is the one that goes... Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, it goes... Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's Russian or something.
What?
That is. That's like a Russian funeral march. I think that's... I heard that once when I was watching a Russian funeral on TV for one of their big leaders, and they were playing that very dun 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 dun, dun. That one?
Yes, that's the one. Is that, you say it's Russian, is it Tchaikovsky or?
I don't know, but that's, I think it's very decidedly European. I've never heard that played at any American military funeral or anything else. Although, maybe at my funeral, I'd like them to play that. Would you make a note, Bud?
Yeah.
At my funeral, I want them to play dun, dun, da, dun.
Quit joking like that, Mr. Henry.
Oh, don't start getting sappy. I'm not dying anytime soon, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know. It could happen tonight. A gunman could burst in here tonight.
Would you stop that, please?
I don't know.
How dare you scare me like that?
Margaret, you know, when you're doing a talk show, it's kind of like, you know, we're our ass is up for grabs here, man. And, you know, it's kind of like being a cop in a way, you know. I don't know.
Would you please stop that or I'm leaving?
All right, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Okay. So, just to make a long story short, yeah, I woke up and I was like, wow, this is look at the day. The day's so beautiful. So what do? You know, I get up. I flip on the news, maybe, or I go out, I take a walk out on the beach, and the next thing you know, now I've got, I don't know about you, but exercise does not tire me out. Exercise wakes me up, and exercise gives me more energy. So when you guys have been telling me, like Margaret, you guys were talking about, go out and run and you'll get tired, no way.
What about that time you said you didn't sleep all night?
Yeah, the one time I, you know, there was a couple times where I had really bad insomnia, and I was awake all night, and I went out, and I ran on the beach, and I got back. No way, man. I was still wide awake. I will say this. Eventually, that did kind of tucker me out, because I think within a couple of hours I went to sleep. But that was kind of that. So I'm not dragging today. I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be here. But, yeah, it was just another weird, weird night with Phil.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot. Well,
please, yeah, don't get...
There's probably a lot of ladies that can say that.
That's exactly what I didn't want to say.
Thank you, Margaret. Bud?
Sorry.
All right. By the way, remember the story we did last night about the little boy who was abducted by his grandparents? There's more information coming out. You know, I was a little bit premature. Of course, I'm a talk show host, so naturally I am premature. And I don't mean, you know... Don't say it. I'm talking about with information.
And opinions.
And opinion. Only on this show, I admit when I'm wrong. Most shows, they'll say, well, now, wait a minute, I didn't say that. What I did say was, in any event, the kid was abducted by his grandparents, yes. And I remember I said on the show yesterday, and that's a crime, yes. And they, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out the grandparents abducted this little boy in 1994 while his mother was living in a car. The mother and the stepfather were living in a car. And the grandparents came along and said, well, this is just not going to happen, man. You know, this is one of those kind of moral dilemmas. You know what I'm saying?
What's that?
You know, a moral dilemma is when you ask yourself this question. Do I break the law for a higher moral good? Or do I adhere to the law because it's the law? And as a member of society, you know, we're only as good as our weakest law in terms of, you know, keeping anarchy from the door. Laws are good. Laws are, you know, remember that great monologue in Man for All Seasons, where he says to his son-in-law Thomas More, he says, would you cut down all the laws of England?
Now, Phil,
what?
You're starting to get into your.
Yeah, stop thinking like doing a PBS show.
Yeah, you're talking weird.
Well, that's just too bad. I'm going to have to talk weird.
Well, yeah, people don't know.
Go ahead, say it.
People aren't smart enough.
People aren't smart enough. Bull crap. I'll just say it real fast.
Okay, I'm counting. 1,002, 1,000.
Okay, shut up, bud. Sir Thomas More is talking to his son-in-law, and he says to his son-in-law, you want to get at the devil, don't you? And his son-in-law says, yes. I want to kill the devil. And he said, and would you cut down all the laws in England to get at the devil? He said, I would cut down every law in England if it was to kill the devil. And Thomas More says to him, and when all the laws are flat and the devil turns around on you, Where are you going to hide then? He said, the laws, I respect law for my own safety's sake, is the message that he's giving to his son-in-law, saying that when you're chasing the devil, there are certain things that you don't want to cut through and slash and burn. There are certain things you're going to need. And so law is one of those things. However, having said all of that.
Now, how are you going to tie this in with a woman sleeping in a car?
I'll tell you how.
Got to take a break.
Then
we got Mr. Hall.
Will you let me finish what I'm saying?
We have to take a break, and I've got to use the toilet.
Well, so what does that got to do with me?
You got the key. You got the key in the car?
Yeah, I think I'll have the key to the problem.
And then Mr. Hall's on the line.
Yeah, where's the key to the bathroom?
Hey, I'm really thankful everybody's interested in what I've got to say. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. Oh, okay, Sir Thomas Moore. Bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Lady, just call. What's the name of that movie? Out of season? The Four Season? Oh, by the way, I don't want to, just as a little bit of a public service here from the Phil Hendry Show, from me to you, the Department of Homeland Security is saying disable your Java software.
What?
Yeah, that's right. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has advised people to temporarily disable the Java software on their computers to avoid potential hacking attacks. Huh?
What's that mean? Do I hack in, man? Is that the Chinese?
Well, I don't know. No, the Chinese. But, I mean, in other words, what they're saying is there is a weakness in the software, in the Java experience, shall we call it. There's a weakness. There are exploitable areas. And the recommendation came in an advisory which was issued following concerns raised by computer security experts. Experts believe hackers have found a flaw in Java's coding that creates an opening for criminal activity and other high-tech mischief. So we're not just talking about the Chinese, bud. We're talking about...
Yes, anybody that wants to break into a computer and has the know-how.
Oh, well, I know the Chinese.
Yeah, man, we all talk about the Chinese.
Forget it. The Chinese are always going to be the Chinese are always going to be there, man. What are you talking about? Java? Chinese don't care. You could have the great... I bet you the Chinese could bust through the Norton antivirus, like, for instance, on our computers. All this antivirus. I bet you it would take the Chinese like 3 seconds to break into our stuff.
What are you talking about? We got a warranty.
It doesn't matter, but if we have a warranty, the Chinese. Do you understand the Chinese?
What does that mean?
What does it mean? We're dealing with an ancient culture. We're dealing with a culture that is thousands of years old. The United States has been here 200 years. Before that, another 200 years, let's say, before the Europeans settled North America. And before that, with all due respect, hunter-gatherer societies. Meanwhile, the Chinese have gunpowder.
Well...
And they have other things, too. Other things that we can only imagine. Other things we can only dream of.
Margaret...
Phil, I want to finish this. This is very important. Bud asked the question. I'm going to finish it. The Chinese have...
Will you hold on for a minute?
What?
It sounds like you're giving a speech now at the UN. The Chinese...
Excuse me, I didn't know the Chinese. I'm talking about the exploitability, as you said, of our computers. You've got 1 billion Chinese itching to crawl into your tower drive. That probably didn't sound good.
No, it didn't.
Oh, look at you.
Well, Ms. Gray, you made it sound very, very dirty.
She didn't make it sound dirty.
Yes, she did. Said the Chinese want to crawl up your tower drive.
You didn't say crawl up.
I didn't say crawl up. I said crawl in.
That's less sexual? I don't know. I don't know about that. I'd have a very serious disagreement with you on that.
Okay, bud, thank you so very much, Mr. Omnibudsman and...
What'd you say?
Omnibudsman? Whatever? Isn't that the guy that, like, is in control of content? Anyway, make a long story short... The U.S. Department, and I'm always using that phrase, make a long story short, because I'm the guy trying to make it short, and you're the people here trying to make it long.
That's what she said.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
In any event, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has advised people to temporarily disable the Java software on their computers to avoid potential hacking attacks. Experts believe hackers have found a flaw. Java is a widely used technical language that allows computer programmers to write a wide variety of internet applications and other software programs that can run on just about any computer's operating system. Oracle bought Java as part of $7.3 billion. This was an article written in, this is from Belfast Telegraph. What is it with these, what's going on with these stories?
I don't know, man. If you look up a story, it could come from anywhere.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, that's fine, but every time I look at a story, I've got to edit it in my mind here because it's been written in some bloody damn part of the world, like that one yesterday. We were reading a story having to do with some sort of an American topic, and the story came out of the Manila Times.
Well, that's the first, I think it has to do with the most accessed.
Yeah, whichever one they go to.
So anyway, Oracle bought Java as part of a $7.3 billion acquisition of the software's creator, Sun Microsystems, in 2010. Oracle's based in Redwood Shores, Cali. They had no immediate comment. All right. And you also know that you see these Java updates on your computer. We'll say, we have updates waiting for you. And I don't know.
What are those?
I you know what? I don't know.
You don't know?
Honestly, I don't. All I knew is people were telling me, you got all these updates, Phil. Why haven't you downloaded them? I go, I don't know. This is like when I first got my computer, because I'm the most computer dumb guy going. And so, no, man, you got to update all this stuff. It's basically making the, securing certain parts of your information base, so on and so forth. I'll ask Dan during the commercial break, and I'm sure he'll be able to break it down for me.
Thank God for Dan.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. So that is a piece of news that I'm sure you all would like to know. David G. Hall joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with a couple of things to talk about. I know last night, David, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just blow you off the line, but I didn't know you were going to be on the line with us.
No, that's, let me tell you something. I appreciate, Phil, very much you coming on last night with me. I was sending, I sent Janine over to shut the car alarm off, and then you said, why are you sending a woman over to do that? And I said, my God, you're right, and that's when I called her back. And it turned out, we found out last night that Janine, I thought she was hard of hearing, because if you listen to me on the tape, I go, hey Janine.
Do we have that tape?
Well, no, you don't need the tape. I can do it for you if you want. I mean, that's what I was doing.
No, I think I remember you saying baby.
That's it. I said, hey, baby, right? She kept on walking. And I kept saying, hey, baby. And then she turned around. I said, we got to get your hearing checked. And she said, okay. So today we took her over to Dr. Allen.
That's the ear, nose, and throat guy.
Yeah, in Westlake Village. Nothing wrong with her hearing at all. She's got perfect hearing. And I said, well, I yelled at her, baby, and she kept on walking, you remember?
Yeah, well, last night, she was on her way over to shut the alarm off in the car, and that's what I said to you, it's dangerous.
Exactly. She kept walking, and then I found out that she said to me, well, you thought it was my ears. I said, yeah. She said, I didn't know you were talking to me. And I said, now watch this, Phil, because I got it. Hey, Janine, honey, yeah, we should turn the TV down. Thanks. When I said, hey, baby, even though she and I were the only people on that level of the parking garage, she thought I was talking to somebody else. Isn't that right, baby? Janine, isn't that right? See, I called her baby, and she kept on staring at the...
You know, there's some women that probably think that's not a half-bad talent. A lot of women don't want to respond to baby.
From a stranger, I can understand that. We happen to have an understanding. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? What kind of an understanding?
An understanding. We've got a.
Are you saying that you have? Well, I don't want to ask.
We've got an understanding.
Are you romantic with her?
Yeah.
Well, then say it, man. I mean, she doesn't mind these endearments, right?
I said we've got an understanding.
Is that what you call having a romantic, intimate relationship with somebody?
Yes.
No wonder she didn't understand you or hear you, man. You guys are speaking with a whole different language. So what happened?
What happened? What do you mean, what happened? I said, hey, baby. And she said, were you talking to me? I said, you're the only one here. She goes, okay, well, now I'll go.
Well, she didn't know right now when you were asking her for the to turn it down.
What?
Never mind. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
We'll be back. Phil Henry Show with more on Java and this Phil boy that was abducted. Henry. All right, we're going to get Ted Bell in here for a minute because we need an update from Ted on something that we had started with him not too long ago. When I say not too long ago, I mean something that, within the last couple of months, but it could very well have been further back. Nonetheless, Ted was enamored of the woman on the Bear Pit commercial. Was that it?
Oh, my God. You're not going to go back on that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I am, because I want to find out about it.
What do you want to find out? Do you still like the lady who has a big butt?
Because that's what it was about.
I know that, and I want to find out what the reason is the following. Alex Morgan, a member of the United States soccer team, apparently she's got a great-looking ass. I haven't seen Alex Morgan's ass, and I don't really necessarily want to sit here and just start... Even though myself and my good friend Mr. Northcraft have been connoisseurs of the female form in that area all of our lives. So you can't mess with experts on this. And
yeah, there's a lot of guys that like the lady's butt, though.
Yeah, let me tell you something about that, okay? If there are, they've been quiet for years. Because, I mean, I felt like I was the only guy in America. And so the fact that I'm talking about this, you know, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail. I'm just going to say, I don't know anything about Alex Morgan's. And plus, how old is she, man? Like, it's almost like it's not even though she's of legal age, I feel kind of creepy if a woman's under the age of 30, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Aren't you old fashioned? So what? You feel more fatherly?
No, I feel weird. You know, I think a woman from 30 on. I kind of relate to women 30 years of age and older. They seem like they've got a little bit of life experience going on. And when we talk, they sort of, the frame of reference is okay. You know?
No, I don't know. What do you mean the frame of reference?
In other words, if I just articulate a certain value or something, they don't stare back at me like I landed. Oh, what happened to the chair, bud?
You just hit the lever again on a chair. You almost had a heart attack.
You're right. Good God.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, yeah. I hit the lever on the chair and I went down again.
Yeah, I'll say you did.
Give me five.
Shut up. Watch it, man. Watch who you're screwing with, okay? This is the big dog, all right? I'm not the butt of any jokes around here.
Yes, Daddy.
Okay. So enough of all this nonsense. I'm looking at TMZ, and TMZ has this article on Alex Morgan. So apparently she's got a great-looking ass, and the thing of it is... They asked the question, are men with great-looking, quote, great-looking asses, are they as attractive to women? You know, I don't know the answer to that question at all. So we're going to get Ted Bell on here, and just if you can turn that garbage off, bud.
That's not garbage. That was the stranglers.
Isn't that nice? It's the What is that, man? Would you turn that stuff off, man? I'm listening to hip-hop or something.
See live, Harvey left.
Oh, I know what that is. It's TMZ. Yeah, if there's one thing I love doing, it's cutting off anything having to do with Harvey Levin running his mouth. There's nothing against you, Harvey. It's just, you know, no thank you. All right, Ted Bell.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
You got the wrong lineup, bud.
Steakhouse, oh. Come on down.
And everybody come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. This weekend, it's National Football League playoff time. We've got the big Kansas City Steaks, the New York Steaks, the prime rib.
Yeah.
That Green Bay game is going to be killer. And I heard something in the...
You know, we had the other line. We had David Hall's line open. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great, and great to be on the air with you, Phil. And I know that you guys wanted to bring me on to talk a little bit about the Bear Pit controversy. I want to, first of all, articulate as clearly as I can to my wife, Marcy, to my son, Josh. I am devoted to them. I love them, and I would never do anything to jeopardize our family. I know that I did ask Marcy for a divorce on your program long time ago, Phil.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a funny, I don't know. I thought it would be a great publicity stunt.
Let me be clear, Ted. This is Margaret.
Oh.
Yes, that's right, because you know I'm part of this show.
Yeah, I know you're part of the show, Margaret. I would ask you to have just a shred of decency and be respectful.
I am respectful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever you say.
Let's not do that, okay? Let's just let's give everybody the benefit of the doubt. What did you want to ask, Margaret?
I want to ask Ted the following question. Now I forgot.
Well, you know, maybe it wasn't that good of a question, but...
It was a very good question.
What did it have to do with?
What it had to do with Marcy and with Josh and the fact that he loves them, I forget.
All right. So, Ted, tell me about this Bear Pit situation. And
there is no Bear Pit situation. I was on your program, and a lot of people listening around the country are not going to understand, but because they may not be aware of the fact that there is this commercial that had aired here in the Los Angeles area, and it showed a spokeswoman for the Bear Pit, the barbecue pit, the rib pit, or whatever they call it.
Like a barbecue restaurant and everything. I go there. It's really good. Yeah, like a barbecue pit.
It's not. Yeah, it's the Bear Pit. What do you call something like that, Phil?
Barbecue restaurant.
A barbecue restaurant, is that it? I'm just kidding around.
That's cute. I like that.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So it's called a barbecue. I would think it's called a barbecue restaurant.
No, it's not. It's called the Bear Pit. All right, I'm sorry. I got to get serious here.
Yeah, would you mind?
Or I can hang up. Which is it?
I'm sorry, Ted.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Ted Bell. All right? As I said on Twitter, I want to back up here. Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, okay. I would just back up here for a minute. I said on Twitter today, I don't want to hit this one too hard, but I'm Ted Bell. And that's all I needed to say. It got retweeted. It got favorited. Some of the heaviest hitters in show business favorited and retweeted that simple tweet. I don't want to hit this too hard, but I'm Ted Bell. All right? So understand that while I can be, joked with and fooled around in this nonsense, please don't ever think that I'm that I'm out in the yard and you're sending me to get a magazine or a pack of cigarettes, because it just ain't going to happen.
I'm not doing that. I don't mean to disrespect you. I apologize. My question is this. The Bear Pit and the woman that was featured in the Bear Pit commercial, where do you stand today?
What do you mean, where do I stand?
Are you still Ted, you were ready to leave your family.
No. I was not ready to leave Let me explain. When I first saw those commercials, I was taken by surprise. You don't often see a commercial like that. It was, in point of fact, shocking. And in my wildest dreams, I never thought that I would see a woman in a television commercial in jeans that are sprayed on, lovely woman, very, large...
She's large in a top area.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, right. But Steve said it. She was large in the top area. And I never thought that I would ever see a commercial. I was stunned. There were two things that happened to me. I was stunned, and I was excited, almost to the point of passing out.
Oh, God.
Who said that?
I did, Ted. And you know something? This is America. There is free speech, and I'll say it again. Oh, God.
And what was so disgusting about what I just said?
Well, you're saying you got excited to the point of passing out. Well, good Lord. That sounds almost pornographic.
Now, let me just say something to you, Margaret. In our culture, you rarely see a woman's rear end celebrated. You rarely see the female rear end held up on high as an icon of sexual, what do you want to call it, you know, sexual magic. Is that the right word?
I guess, sure.
Yeah, you know, almost, and I'm telling you this right now, and I got into a problem because you know that Marcy and I have attended the Beverly Hills Lutheran Church for a great many years, and I've kind of bounced around. We went to Presbyterian. We even tried Episcopalian. We are very comfortable there in the Lutheran faith. And I talked to a couple of people there, and I said to them, I am considering something, and I need to get you to sign off on this, or I need to have the deacon sign off on this, that the females, and I didn't know how else to put it, I said, a female's rear end, can that be a totem, a religious totem?
Are you kidding me? Are you listening to what he's saying?
Ted, can I?
May I finish?
Wait just a second. You went to your church to ask if a woman's ass, let's be honest, okay?
I did not say ass. It's my church.
I understand that, but let's just, all right, you went to your, what did you say?
I was respectful.
Well, what word did you use?
I said a woman's butt or rear end.
I bet you they just looked at you and rolled their eyes.
No, they did not. No, no, hey, yay. Guess what, genius? You're wrong. No, they didn't. Because the guy that I talked to, who was one of the assistant deacons, he looked at me and he said, guess what, man? I got the same problem you got. And I said, well, what can we do to legitimize this? And why is it that we do not raise on high and celebrate, almost to the level of a magical totem and a talisman,
You know, you're going to have to find a more adult way, like the woman's posterior or just the female form, you know?
The female form can be anything.
Yeah, it could be her nose. It could be like her nose or her ears.
If you're looking at a silhouette, you went by celebrating a woman's nose.
No, not the nose. All right, so what did they say?
What do you mean they? I was talking to one guy in a parking lot. And
all right, what did he say?
Well, I could care less what he said. He was an assistant deacon. He's got no juice. He's got no pull there. See, I come from a restaurant tradition. I want a guy that, you know, if I can grease a guy's palm, if I've got the juice, then I want stuff to get done. You're not going to lay a 20 on a guy like that and say, all right, have it, you know, make sure the Lutherans know what's up.
Well, what happened then? What was the upshot?
The upshot was they looked at me like I escaped from a ward over here at the mental hospital. They thought that I needed an ambulance. That's what they thought. So I had to get in my car and get out of there. So I come home, and I was stunned, and I was shocked that they reacted that way. You got to understand something, Phil. When I saw the Bear Pit commercial, and here she is with that big, you know, the big...
The big butt, Ted. What's your problem?
Because I want to be respectful.
You know, this, Phil, I noticed this. The men that come on your program...
Pardon me. Will you hold off giving your inauguration speech until after I'm done?
I'm not giving a speech.
Well, you know what? I have the floor. Do I not, Mr. Henry?
Ted, yeah, let Ted finish.
Fine.
I saw the rear end of that woman, and I said, by God, my world is changing. First, look at that ass. Second, it's okay. Third, I'm in love. Fourth, I didn't know. I was hyperventilating. And that's why I had that tough week, fueled by alcohol. Now, that's the first time that's ever happened to me.
So you were drunk.
I tell you.
Were you drunk?
No, wait. I tell the two of you.
I'm here, too.
All right, I tell the three of you.
I'm sorry, I'm here, too, Mr. Bell.
I tell the four of you. Anybody else?
No, there's nobody else.
Well, I came here to change the water.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, it's the bottled water guy.
All right, I tell the five of you...
You're not telling the bottled water guy isn't listening.
Will you just come on?
All right, so I tell you... Now, I forgot what I was going to say.
You tell me about something... What? You tell me...
I tell you about the love and the passion that I have for a woman because she's got the full, big... You know, the big ass. And what do? You turn it into...
Let's take a break. Everybody is out of sorts here.
Wait, Phil, now hold on for a minute.
No, you hold on. Let's take a break. Everyone's butting in. You know, there's no timing on this show, man.
What do you mean by timing?
Yeah, it's not like we're doing no Abbott and Costello's on a first.
I'm talking about knowing when to start talking and knowing when to shut up. Abbott and Costello on the first.
Yeah.
You mean who's on first?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. That took timing, which we ain't got. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell talking about his passionate love of the woman in the bear pit commercial.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What's wrong?
Well, it makes me sound like some kind of a... Just never mind.
What we happen? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry, Ted. I've got to get your jingle here. And there we go. Ted Bell with us this hour.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. The Green Bay-San Francisco game, just one of what, four games, Phil, that we've got this week into the NFL with the prime rib room. Come on in, have a Ted watch. Go ahead. And the baked potato tree. You guys are a little sloppy with it.
So I'm sorry, Ted. I missed where the commercial was located. It wasn't that I didn't. I had the wrong fader.
Well, you guys got to get tighter with that.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, you know, the best. You know, like the man said, your best. It ain't good enough.
Oh wow,
boy! I'm talking about a chop, man.
My best ain't good enough, huh?
I'm just using a little bit of a power play on you. Take it easy, for God's sake. But make sure you know, I'm paying money for that.
Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Bell, sir.
Well, don't get, well, I hurt his feelings.
Bill, he's kidding around.
So you're kidding about your best ain't good enough?
Of course I'm kidding. You think I'm going to, I don't mean that. I'm going to embarrass you in front of your listeners. Even if I did mean it, I'd make it sound like I was joking.
Well, did you mean it or didn't you?
No, I didn't mean it. But if I did mean it, I'd still say, no, I didn't mean it.
No, all right, so all... What?
Well, that's pissing me off.
What's pissing you off?
Did you mean to say to me that my best ain't good enough, or did you not?
No, I did not.
But if you did mean it, you would still say, no, you did not.
No, if I meant it, I'd say, yes, I mean it, Phil, but I'd be kidding.
And, you know,
you're on your own there.
All right, anyway...
you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Getting back to the bear pit, what is the name of that girl in the bear pit commercial?
I don't know, Phil. I don't know, and I've been trying to find out for 2 months. It's almost been a religious pilgrimage for me. Now, I know that there are people laughing, and I know that there are people... You understand, Northcraft understands, that a man... that is enamored of a woman's rear end, he can literally tear an entire brick wall down to get at it. All right?
Well, I you know.
Well, what, am I lying?
There's a great deal of, yeah, we're a special breed of man, I will say that.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's like Al Pacino in that Heat. You always quote the guy, you know, she's got a great ass, you know, and I see a woman, you know. So anyway, I went everywhere. I went to the city morgue. I looked up records.
Why the city morgue?
In case she was dead. And
wait a minute, this woman on the bear pit commercial?
Yeah, she could have died between the time that they cut the commercial time I saw it. I went to the morgue, and I, God forgive me for what I'm about to say, I went to the morgue half hoping to see her, dead but nude.
Oh. Oh, my God. I...
All right. You wanted me to be honest, and then when I'm honest, I get punished for it.
That's just perverse.
I said half-hoped. I didn't say all the way.
You went to the morgue to see if she was dead so you'd get a look at her nude.
If she was laying on her stomach.
All right. I have to...
Go to the toilet?
Did I say that?
Well, that's what you usually do.
And how do you know? You're on the phone. You're at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I listen religiously, and I listen exclusively for you to go to the bathroom. That's how sick I've become because of the, you know...
All right, Margaret, just go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to throw up.
There's some throw-up rags in there.
Thank you.
Throw-up rags?
Well, I've got some paper towels in there from last night.
Is she going to be sick, really?
I don't know, but we got the paper towels, so that's considered the throw-up.
Yeah, in case there's a throw-up.
In case there's a throw-up. I love the way your crew puts things. So in any event, Bill, to get back to what I was talking about, because I'm Ted Bell, and I don't know anybody else around here that's named Ted Bell. Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I went everywhere looking for this woman. I don't know her name, but she's gorgeous. She's got that big rear end. And but no, I didn't leave my wife and son, and nor would I. I went on a bender that week. The week you talked to me, I was a little bit out of my mind, but that's what happened. I was stunned. I was shocked. I was gladdened. I was excited. There was passion. There was fear. I wanted to live. I wanted to die.
All from seeing some woman's rear end in this commercial.
Not just a commercial. It was this big woman's big butt in a barbecue commercial. That sent me over the edge. Okay? And if she'd come out wearing a checkered kerchief or anything having to do with a cowgirl beyond the jeans, I'm going to tell you right now, they would have had to have climbed a flagpole to get me. They would have had, I don't know, they would have, they better have gotten some kind of a medevac helicopter that's reinforced iron.
All right, thanks a lot, Ted.
Maybe that they could take some...
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Yep, he's nuts, all right.
Yeah, you're mine, Mr. Bell.
Smile when you say that.
Phil Hendry.